Welcome to Coach Rush. This is episode 13, and my guest for today is Jessica Weed from Claremont, Florida, licensed massage therapist, personal trainer, and neurokinetic therapy practitioner. Welcome, Jessica. Thank you for getting in touch.
Hi, thank you.
All right, Jessica, let's dive straight into it. So I want to talk about smash that lens. And obviously you're a personal trainer, but you are not just sticking to lifting weights. There's more behind what you do. So talk to us about what smash that lens is and how it was created.
Okay, so smash that lens is definitely something that's like super, super important to me. The mind over matter factor, I believe, I mean, it goes for life, not just like working out, not just, I mean, anything, literally. So it was created about a year ago. I was the athlete who was doing everything and basically not working too hard, but just happened to end up in a random hospital check for my stomach, and I actually got stuck with a IV, a needle in my radial nerve. And I was labeled with transneural nerve damage, which is an incurable structure, quote unquote, from the doctors. And PDTR pretty much brought it back. PDTR is another certification that I do. But the concept was created because of all the real mental health and depression part of that, like the emotional side, the mental aspect of, health. And because I thought I was, I mean, physically, you couldn't tell a difference. And then as soon as everything had stopped, all of the mental clutter had built up. And I realized that everything that I had been seeing, saying, I mean, I was just negative and miserable and super unhappy. And then I realized that I had the power to change that. So smash that lens. I mean, it's a very, it's not just a black and white concept. It's the gray area. It's everything in between. So, yeah.
But so it came from like an not an injury but an accident, a needle in one of your nerves, or what was that?
Yes. So I was getting a an endoscopy done where they go in with a scope through your stomach, and the nurse was just trying to put in an IV for the procedure. And yeah, so it was just a, I don't know if it was just a chance or it was supposed to happen or what, but it happened and it brought me here. So
And what
yeah.
sort of mental clutter was the consequence of that?
I just got, I mean, insanely depressed. I didn't want to do anything. I mean, I kind of thought my life was over. You see, I like had so many certifications, was the athlete working hard, worked for everything. And then basically it was like a carpet that had been pulled out from underneath me. The needle puncture was not my fault. The nurse had made a mess up. And it just basically, it's like taking a doctor's hands or a surgeon's hands, if you will. And so being crippled physically made me really, step up my mental game.
I see. I see. Yeah, that's understandable. And the next step was to smash your own lens then, or.
Yes, no, that's actually the main thing is smashing my own lenses. I created this. It's all about me seeing different, and it's not just me, like all about me. It's that you can do it too. I want to teach other people that they have the power to do this and they can overcome these things no matter what it is.
So before you structurize this and make this a whole thing that you would teach other people, you made that first experience, the first-hand experience by yourself,
Yes.
and then you took it further, right?
Right, correct.
So what are we exactly talking about here? Because I mean, I initially was attracted to the concept of smashed at length because I've used this metaphor as well in the past of having a contact lens that is formed by your experiences and your attitude and everything you've experienced in your life, and it's highly subjective, and it's the filter you perceive the world, so to speak. This is
Right.
my way of seeing it and explaining it,
Of
and
course.
of course it has a lot to do with coaching. You have to see the lens of a person and how the person is maybe stuck in their own world or whatever, but how do you go about this?
Well, the first thing to do is on whether it's a client base or just a friend, is to meet people where they're at. And understanding where they're at, because I mean, usually our first response is to always say, I know, or I understand. And I don't think that's true understanding. I think it's more mentally just listening and let that person explain exactly how they feel, and you doing the best that you can, opening up all doors, open-minded, complete possibilities of solving whatever the problem is.
Yeah, so that's the first step to really not just listen on the surface. Is that what you're saying?
Not just the surface. It's all about looking deeper because, but there's a lot more than people than what they just say. I mean, listening on a body language spectrum, on how what their tone is, how their delivery is, their approach. I mean, across the board, people tell you everything you need to know.
And that's sort of the definition and everything that goes into that lens.
Correct. That's why
Okay.
we need to keep smashing it in order to keep evolving and seeing all of the possibilities instead of just, having maybe tunnel vision.
Okay, so someone is coming to you, and what kinds of goals and aims and needs do people have when they come to you?
So I do two specific certifications. I'm a pain specialist using the two main certifications, which are NKT, the neurokinetic therapy, and then the new one is called PDTR. That is a little more neurologically based. It's called proprioceptive deep tendon reflex. And with that, it really opens up the spectrum for brain-based approach. We're dealing with everything from meridians to emotions to simple muscle functions, dealing with dysfunctional receptor patterns, muscle patterns. And that's really where I kind of sit at for the most part. I mean, of course, clients will start opening up to you, the whole transference thing. But it's my job to keep them focused on what they want to do, because everybody knows their path. They just sometimes people are just sitting on it and they need a little help to, see something differently in order to get going again.
I mean, you mentioned, Jessica, that you are a neurokinetic therapy practitioner, and I saw one of your posts. I saw this image of you holding, I think, an arm of one of your clients, and you were doing some stuff there. Is that
Yes.
a technique you apply to do what?
So what I do is basically manual muscle testing, and it's getting direct answers, information from the brain and the body in order to correctly find and treat dysfunctions.
Such as.
Such that, I mean, anything neurologically based, you could have a muscle compensation pattern, let's say like an ankle sprain, anywhere from scars to whiplash. I mean, I deal with the whole all across the board with pain.
So on the one hand, you're listening to what your clients are saying and what kinds of goals do they have? Is it like classical, typical, losing weight and getting more flexible, or is it more in-depth stuff as well?
Yes, it's those things and more in-depth stuff. Usually people come to me who have tried X, Y, and Z, and like foam rolling, or they've been trying all of the diets and they can't seem to lose any weight. And I'm kind of like a last resort, or last hope for people, and they're ready to try anything. So that's what is super cool about it, is it's not the mainstream way of fixing things. But I mean, once you see for yourself, like exactly what happens, it's the feeling, and you can't really, in my opinion, you can't really argue with it. It's how, and the look on people's faces, I mean, instantly is gratifying for me and for like myself and for them, because they get instant results whenever they've tried for years or months or weeks to get rid of this pain or deal with this problem, and then it's just gone.
That's the beautiful thing about our calling, isn't it? To
Yes.
see that instant relief or that satisfaction from their faces. I mean, this is actually the reason why I'm doing this, why I'm doing
Yes.
personal training and why I'm working directly with people. How do you see that?
I actually love, that's my favorite part of the job, is that it's almost an instant belief system that you create for these people. And the belief factor is huge, because I mean, in my opinion, if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. I'm definitely a visionary in that aspect, and I believe if you can see it, then you can make it happen. But sometimes, there's these roadblocks and obstacles and everything that gets in the way, certain thinking patterns, and it all comes to a halt. And I mean, that's my favorite part of this entire thing, is the whole, it's immediately giving you relief whenever you feel like you've been drowning for forever. You can't figure out an answer. And it's kind of like, well, here you go, here's an answer.
And that answer can be, it can be talking, but it can be also like really physiological. I mean, this is the highly fascinating stuff that it's an yeah both both things like the body and the mind is involved in this. And sometimes it's talking, but sometimes it's these sort of neurokinetic things that you are doing. And it's more like saved or ingrained in the person's muscular system or in the fascia.
Yes. So that's a huge part of NKT and PDTR, because the law of facilitation, once so many repetitions are in there, that's the easiest stimulus. That's the path of least resistance. So they're likely to take that path versus a brand new path. And so NKT and PDTR basically rewire or wipe away those dysfunctional patterns that end up causing us pain or causing us bad body mechanics, those types of things.
And how do you go about to smash that lens then? I mean, how do you create a new one? Do you overwrite it?
I mean, it's really to just make the other, whatever their other vision is, how they see it, to make that obsolete and replace it with something that's better and bigger and, more open. Because if we just see through these one pair of glasses, just the in or lens the entire time, then I mean, we're gonna miss out on a lot of stuff.
Exactly. It's a tunnel vision, and you're talking about the blockages more, right?
Right.
To remove the blockages, to yeah, to release that which is in order to create something new.
Yes, which is what we have the power to do, and what we were sent here to do is create. Like, we're humans, and I don't think it's necessary for everyone to create, but I think that everyone's mind should be imaginative enough to create something. Like, we all have that power, but not everyone chooses to use it because maybe they have a belief system that, they don't have that power inside of them, or something amongst that.
Yeah, in terms of a computer, you can think of it as programming, of course, and you just try to overwrite that program with a new program. And the fascinating thing is, I mean, the question, what is behind the lens? Because the lens is a beautiful metaphor, I think, for you gotta have some interaction with the outer world. You're building up that lens, like a filter,
Yes.
but what is actually behind that lens? I mean, completely unadulterated is probably the word, or completely natural. What is behind that lens?
Well, I think it's different for everybody. I think that, like you said earlier, our what happens to us over time, everybody's brain is different. How you compensate versus how I compensate from how the next guy compensates is going to be completely different. And that's what's cool is just like I like to tie PDTR into Smash That Lens because I can work on 10 shoulders, and the normal basis of physical therapy says to do the one size fits all. And in my work, it could be 10 different shoulders, and each one of them is a different type of work that I have to do with it. And once we clear that pattern, then it's gone. And so I don't technically believe in the one size fits all, but there's a broad spectrum of like what it could be. That's why I think everything has its place. Massage has its place, physical therapy has its place. And I truly think PDTR has its place because it's such a new, amazing approach, like, and it's brain based. And in my opinion, working with the brain is what's making the difference, because not everybody's body is the same. And again, how you're going to compensate is different from me, but I truthfully think that it's different for everyone, and everybody's struggles is different, but we have to, smash that lens and look outside of ourselves and see. And maybe have a helping hand with some for somebody else.
Could you explain once again what PDTR stands for?
Yes, it's proprioceptive deep tendon reflex.
Okay.
So it's just it's again, it's a brain-based approach through manual muscle testing, dealing with neurology, where we create, assess, and clear dysfunctions. You have like 18 different receptors in your body slash brain. You have five different pathways. And this is how we basically, I mean, our brains are amazing. This is how we compensate. And we're always compensating. And sometimes those receptors get exhausted. And once they get exhausted, you could think of it as like a substitute in like a game, like a basketball game. Somebody gets hurt. A substitute player gets sent in, and then he works until he gets tired, and so forth. And we all create these compensation patterns. And that's so neurologically, we're resetting the brain, so to speak.
Cool. And what are these five pathways you were talking about?
The pathways to, so there's, they're called specific pathways. Some of them are, so there's the mesencephalic pathway, which is thinking about like all of the pain and suffering, which I like to call the athlete pathway. There's visual, there's audio, there's the pain pathway, and well, I'm sorry, there's two different pain pathways, but they're called sphenothalamic neo patterns and sphenothalamic paleo patterns. So it's definitely brain based, and how everything is desiccating at certain parts of the brain, going up the spine, dealing with all of, the intricate parts of the brain, spinal cord, the pons, everything.
It's great that you dive into that topic of the brain, because I think you've done tremendous work with that. I mean, also the visual representation and the graphics on your Instagram on Smash That Lens are beautifully done, I think. So let's dive
Thank
into
you.
that. Yeah, you're welcome.
Of course, of
So
course.
we have the neocortex, the limbic system, the reptilian brain, and this is like the how was the term? I forgot, something with tri. So the
The
three parts.
triune brain, yes.
Yes, exactly. And part of the limbic system is the amygdala, hypothalamus, hippocampus. I mean, at some point we all learned about this, but can you put it in relation again? I mean, the limbic system is crucial in terms of emotions, right?
Correct, correct. Go ahead,
Yeah,
keep going.
go ahead.
So, I mean, the limbic system plays a huge role in short-term memory, long-term memory, pretty much all memory. I mean, it go, how it's affected is just like how we work out. So those patterns in the brain, emotional patterns, mental patterns, spiritual patterns, whatever, what have you, it's all going in. And if you keep having these thoughts, then, if you keep thinking, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Then you're going to create a whole bunch of anxiety, or why is this happening to me? Instead of, delving and diving deeper and figuring it out. But yeah, the limbic system pretty much rules all. Emotions rule all in the nervous system where I work mainly. So,
And what specifically does the amygdala, for example, do?
The primary role in that is decision making, processing the memory, basically like choosing the correct emotional response. So basically, once it's gone, once you've had a traumatic experience, you're going to feel certain emotions, and therefore everything is going to be heightened. It's like, you're going outside and you hear a gunshot, you're gonna be in a survival mode. And then the more gunshots that you start to hear, the more amped up your nervous system is going to get. And therefore, you may become hypersensitive to, small things, or even big things, but or it might take longer for your nervous system to process. And so people with a lot of traumatic experiences, have all of these ailments and dysfunctions, and we try to wipe most of that or help in that. And it's pretty cool stuff. The amygdala is the main, I mean, they all make up and operate in the limbic system, but it's definitely the strongest part of the triune brain, I would say, in my opinion.
Yeah, I remembered that it was connected to like real strong sensations of fear and trauma, like you said earlier.
Yes,
And
yes.
I guess all of these, they are working together. So yeah, I mean, you had another post there which said that what you feed your brain is what it is, what it eats.
Yes.
And in that post you also wrote that the brain basically likes patterns. And if we want to change something in our life, we have to break those patterns, right?
Correct. Yes. The that's actually one of my favorite quotes, is because everybody eats every single day, and it really matters what you put in your mouth, and it also really matters what you put in your brain. Like the thoughts, everything that you think is going to turn into words, and then words turn into actions, or non-actions, if you will. And I just think it's a really huge part of mindset, because I mean, whatever you tell yourself, you're gonna believe no matter what. That's like every cell can hear your subconscious thinking. So when you're thinking, I hate myself, or I love myself, those are two very different things. Two very different things are gonna happen inside the body. So I believe Perry Nicholson says, your cells are eavesdropping on you. So, I think that has a huge impact on, energy levels, mood, just everything.
Yes, and patterns are there because of, I see it part of evolution because patterns are efficient and it's all about efficiency. When you have patterns, you have something that is known to you, but when you want to change something, you have to see them first and then consciously decide to make that shift to other patterns, to other ways of going about things. And for example,
Yes.
I created a new online product, which is the Rush Routine. It's just basically a simple morning routine, but the simple things are the hardest to do in life. And this is the reason why so many people, they have New Year's resolutions and whatnot, but they cannot stick with it because the pattern is missing there. They are not doing it oftentimes enough. The reps are missing. And
Yes.
so we have this situation here that on the one hand, you gotta have some patterns and routines, but on the other hand, human beings need some variation, and from time to time, you need to break that, smash that lens, and
Yes.
move over to something different because otherwise, you become stagnant.
Correct. Yes. No, I think it's completely crucial, because a big part of PDTR is once those patterns are wiped, right? The bad, the dysfunctional pattern. I give people homework, and it's very important that they move and re replace it with something else. Or else they're just going to fall back into old habits. And because there's more repetition there than there is in the new one. It's like if you drive the highway every single day, and then you have to make a, all of a sudden the highway's closed one day, you don't know how to get to work, you've got to take a new route. And then the next day, let's say the highway's open and the road's open, and you have to consciously choose to maybe take the road instead of the highway, because the highway's cluttered, or the highway has traffic, or has something that you don't want to deal with. But I think all those things have consequences. Whatever patterns you have, I just the brain only learns in patterns. It doesn't know anything different than that. So we're creatures of habit, but I think that we're also, like you said, creatures of variation, and I think we need that. I'm a firm believer in everything in moderation, including moderation.
What do you mean by moderation?
I mean everything, just across the board, like try everything versus just pick the one thing that works for you. I think things work for different people all of the time, and that's why we're all so different. I again, that goes back to the belief system, though, and what you think is going to work, or what you know works, right? If you have always fallen down, and whenever you get hurt, you put an ice pack on it, then that's what you're going to do most likely the next time you get hurt. And I think that goes to say for other things, on mind patterns, on traumatic situation, on processing things, on regular daily life, what your habits, whatever you do, including working out. So people get stagnant in the gym, and people do the same gym workout, and then they either don't like the results or want to change it up and can't stick with something. Again, New Year's resolutions. Then it all comes falling down, and I think it's truly the foundation that needs to be built. People like to skip steps, and I think the foundation is the most important part.
Definitely, definitely. If you have a strong basis, then it's like, yeah, why we are somewhat conditioned to think that we need to skip it, or there's a shortcut, or it could be easier, faster, you know. But
Right.
what we sort of mislearned or we forgot about is that foundational work, that basis, especially with our generation, I feel. And I really, really like your example of the highway. I wanted to
Right.
ask you more specific about what are pragmatic approaches in people's daily lives to get that change initiated, to get that change going, to initiate a new pattern. Because, you know, I love talking about this topic, and what I'm giving out as a advice for my clients, the people I work with, is emulate the change you want to see in your own personal world by doing small things. For example, change your sleeping position just 180 degrees, turn it around, or brush your teeth standing on one leg, or, you know, take, like you said,
Right.
another route on not the highway, but another road,
Just
whatever.
something different. Yeah.
Yeah, do you have more to add on that?
I can. Yeah. Basically, I just think that doing anything different, becoming conscious, I think is the biggest thing. I think a lot of us, let's say, put ourselves on autopilot because of routine. As in like work and got to go to the gym and they got to feed the kids or whatever. And I think that they get stuck in doing that, like a hamster wheel. And I just think that, sometimes running backwards or doing absolutely anything other than what's normal to you is the best way to start changing your life. Because once you think, oh, well, maybe I'll do something different, that's the very first, that's the brand new thought right there. That's growth. Because turning on your thinking brain and thinking for yourself is one of the best things that you can do for yourself, and not just, being a part of the herd that continues to get on the highway every single day. And it's just daring to be different, whether different is, brushing your teeth with your left hand or your right hand, or like you said, standing on one foot and, wiggling your toes with the other foot. Just seeing what you can do and pushing yourself to the next, level, and just constantly evolving versus choosing to stay comfortable. Because your comfort zone, in my opinion, as the famous quote, your comfort zone will kill you.
I was about to say that, to quote that from your website, your comfort zone would
Yes.
kill you, but it's I see it exactly like you. And I feel that anytime you want to initiate true change, you have to live it on multiple, like, planes,
Levels.
levels,
Yes.
exactly. So starting with small things, and my goal is always to make it so tangible, to make it so, to break it down so simply that it is doable for people. They might not understand it, but they can do it. And what also has to be said there is always it will feel strange and probably not good, right?
Right. Yeah, you're gonna hate it. It's gonna be
Yeah.
terrible taking the road. But there it's all I mean, again, I say that, but you get to choose how you feel every single day. So you don't have to hate it. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be terrible. It could be the greatest experience you've ever, had. You just have to decide that. You get to choose. Everybody gets to choose.
Yes. And
But
how many times? Please go ahead.
I was just going to say, I definitely agree with you. It has to be like you have to believe it on not just like in your head. You have to do little tiny actions to make things happen and visualize and actually see it and I mean, the rest will just manifest. Literally, it just happens after that. Once you believe it and know it and it's true to you, then at that point, I feel like nothing can stop it.
I mean, these are terms that are being thrown around a lot these days, like visualization. And so many people are talking about this now. What is, from your point of view, the most important aspect of a successful, or let's say, a good visualization?
I think that if you can so what I do, I get myself I call it I'm calm, I'm quiet. And I actually learned it from one of my very first certifications in myofascial release by John F. Barnes. And he would say, I'm calm, I'm quiet, I'm calm, I'm quiet. It's very similar to yoga, where if you lose your breath, okay, that's okay, just come back to it. It's a little more stern than that. It's when you it's turning it's being able to turn on your thinking brain in a non-thinking situation and being able to choose or being able to realize and see objectively and then make a change on like
Hold on,
execute.
okay, hold on, because I want to really repeat what you said. You said choose to think in a non-thinking situation.
Yes.
Okay, how is that done, and what part of the brain is working in that moment?
That would be your neocortex that would be working and choosing, let's say, I don't know, it could be doing the dishes. Let's say you could be putting the dishes away differently, or let's say you add some music in, or I mean, it just anything out of your norm, whatever the norm is to you, just making it a little more intricate, a little more in depth, actually caring and not just going about it, like you're miserable, because it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. And what is also important in that process is to trigger the emotions to, let's say, undermine it and emphasize and accentuate your visualization with the corresponding emotion, because then, from my point of view, it becomes really powerful.
Yes. And on a basis from words, tagging emotions with words, and then you get your actions. And I think words play a very important role too, because if you, it's like if you say, I'll be happy when, and it's not, that means everything, all your happiness is riding on this one thing when it happens. But instead of like, one day, it's day one, it's here, it's right now. And you get to choose it. It's gonna be new, and because that's growth, and growth is new, and it's gonna be uncomfortable, and but that's the only way to experience everything is to be uncomfortable.
Isn't it like telling the brain what the reality is by doing the visualization? Because apparently the brain cannot make that difference between something that is just in your head as an imagination and something that is really apparently in the physical world.
Right. It said, I believe I've read somewhere talking about, when you watch a movie, like you're actually experiencing those things, whether it's like a horror movie or a comedy or whatever. But your brain relates those things. So it can't tell the difference between that and you driving down the road in a car or a traumatic experience that you've had. And so that's what's crazy is the brain remembers that. And that's how we get thrown into the patterns. Or re-stimmed by a pattern, and then it, eats us alive or swallows us whole, whatever you want to call it. But that's where we have all of our power is in that moment. Like that's what it was, and you get to choose what it can be just by changing your mindset on how you view that experience or, what you believe. I think it truthfully all comes down to what you believe.
Interesting. Do you do international coaching as well?
I do some online coaching, yes.
Okay. Now, what would you say to someone who is not in the position or maybe just really far away and he or she wants to smash their lens on their own? They heard about the concept, maybe they heard this podcast and now they want to smash their lens on their own. Is there like an instruction manual with step one, step two, step three? What would you recommend them to do?
There is actually an instruction manual coming. I am actually currently working on it. But the if I was just to say anything, I would say study yourself, because once you understand that you can choose your words, that they become actions after that, and then once you understand your actions, then you can start to understand your habits. And once you study those, that initially builds like your character, and I think your character has a lot to do with like your destiny and your life and what you choose to do. And I think once you've studied that for so long, well, not so long, but once you look at that objectively and actually understand it objectively, you know, smash that lens and look at it through, you know, a different way. I think that's the biggest thing. It's not, because it's not just black and white. No matter what anybody says, there's tons of gray area. And I think that's where we should live. That's where everyone should live, to expand and evolve.
Interesting, because we are always creating the lens. It's like every single day we are adding something to it. And
Yes.
how I interpreted what you said was is like you become very conscious of that building process because it happens all the time. It starts with the smallest unit, which is your thoughts, and it ends with the character, like you said, and all the
Yes.
steps in between. So cool. That's a cool answer. And thanks for that. And
Thank you.
my,
Yes.
let's say, a very interesting question as well is, how many times do we have to smash our lens during our lifetime? What would you say?
Oh, goodness. Every day, probably. No, but truthfully, I mean, I'll say personally, I've probably, you know, been talking with my friends and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a lens. I have to smash this. Like, and it's kind of become like a thing that we say. And it's just really cool because, I mean, every single day there's an opportunity to, and not just every single day, almost every moment of the day. I mean, depending on what you do, you have every chance in the world to change anything.
I mean, this is highly interesting. Are you familiar with the whole concept of flow, being in flow?
I have not heard of flow, but I've done some reading about consciousness and levels and that sort of thing.
I mean, we can break it down pretty simply because everybody knows the expression being in a flow. And you could say every time there's something in yourself that you feel is unresolved or needs to be dealt with and prohibiting you from feeling that flow, you have to smash your lens.
Yes, I love it. Yes. Now you really do, because that's how you're going to propel forward. That's how you're going to grow.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, all right. Thank you so much, Jessica. That was, I think we really covered a lot in a good time
Yes.
here. 45 minutes, so people can check out smashthatlens.com for getting a first impression of what you do, what you offer, and what you give to the world. Do you have anything more to add you want to add?
Yes, no, thank you for that. All I want to add is that if you can change your perception of the world, absolutely everything changes. And I think that might actually be the answer to it, is you have to change it how you look at the world before you can actually make the choice to change your thoughts and then, you know, everything that follows that. So I think it's interception and a little bit of perception.
All
But
right.
yes, no, it was amazing. Thank you. I think we covered a lot too.
Cool stuff. So you can contact Jessica via smashthatlens.com, smashthatlens on Instagram as well, or JRaw on Instagram. And thank you so much for that amazing, cool interview. Lots of stuff we covered. We learned a lot,
Yes,
and
thank you.
have a great time, Jessica.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful time too, Marcus. It was awesome. I
Thanks.
appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.